Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Sam and Greg on this Saturday morning. Second day of August. We shouted out to Druid Hills folks earlier in the show. All the Van Halen fans out there for that. Are you a Sammy or a Dave Van Halen? Sammy. You have a preference?
Yeah. It's like Van Halen, period.
You what?
It's like the band, period.
Okay, but were you more connecting with Sammy or Dave? See, I just put it this way. Dave's more of a frat party.
Okay.
Sammy was more of a musician.
Okay.
And you saw that in the way the band played during those years. It was a frat party. Spicoli wanted him at his party, right?
Yeah.
But then the musicians emerged.
I think I like the character.
Oh, well, yeah, it's all about that.
Yeah, it's a character.
It's all about that. Yeah. Are you ready for this? It was before we bring Adam on here, and he probably knows this, but I tripped and fell into this piece of information.
What?
This past week. The country of Monaco, right? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, right.
And I mentioned they had a little connection with the Dream Team because the Dream Team had a practice at Monte Carlo, the famous, you know, game they played there, and then they kind of lazily went into it, and then Chuck Daly got mad and made them play a game the next day on their day off, and that's when the most famous game happened, where Michael and Magic's team went up against each other, and they all say, each one of them to a man said, that was the best game they ever played, and kind of the torch was passed from Magic to Michael during that time. That all happened in Monte Carlo. But the reason I bring up Monaco is this. Did you know that Monaco, the country, in its entirety, could fit in the Central Park? Think about that for a second.
Wow.
The country of Monaco can fit inside of Central Park. Central Park spans 843 acres, while Monaco covers approximately 514 acres. Insignificant information. I can't top that today. The most insignificant piece of information that you will get
also,
today.
Also, Monaco, they have a very famous road race there.
Yes, they do.
Very famous F1 race that takes place there. But we're going to a place that's going to get the Cup Series.
That was smooth.
Cup Series, going to a place we haven't seen them there a lot lately, but they're returning to Iowa Speedway. And Adam Alexander joins us now. I hadn't caught up with him in a few weeks.
Yeah.
From out of Iowa. Good morning, Adam. Welcome.
Welcome, Adam.
How you doing, guys? Good to be with you again.
What'd you think of that little nugget we just threw out there? And would you like to call a race in Monaco or call that race?
Well, you know what? Try be a long travel. You know what I mean? I hope I get upgraded to business class on that, you know?
Man, after what you've done the last few weeks, you would have nothing but the best class flight over there. Talk about the fact, you know, you're going back to this week. You know, you're going to do the Xfinity race this week. But the last few weeks, we found you guys, you know, streaming, and then you're on with TNT. Talk about what the adventure's been like for you the last few weeks.
Really?
It really has been a wild summer. You know, 10 weeks with doing Cup and Xfinity, and I should say 9 weeks because Michigan was a weekend when Xfinity was off, so 9 of those 10 weeks we had both series. But yeah, we spent 5 weeks doing Amazon Prime and welcomed them to NASCAR, and you know, I believe all that was received really well. I feel like the feedback we got from the fans and just NASCAR as a group, the whole community was very positive about what Amazon and Prime Video was able to do as they came in and introduced themselves to NASCAR. And then we made the transition there at Atlanta, Echo Park Speedway, when we were with you guys. And Turner took over and TNT back in NASCAR, first time they've been in the sport since back in 2014. And so it was great to have them back, and we had a wonderful run with them, really enjoyed our 5 weeks, and just thought the tracks that we went to were awesome, had the first ever in-season challenge, which was neat to be a part of, and wrapped it all up last Sunday at the Brickyard 400. So it was a very busy but a truly rewarding summer, and glad to have been a part of all that.
Adam Alexander joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Adam, last week's win with Bubba Wallace at the Brickyard, the significance of that, but more importantly, what I saw at the end of that race only happens a few times when you see the other drivers make a point of going up there to him and congratulating him in a way that they all felt this was a special win and they were so happy for him. And I just wondered how that landed on you last week.
Well, I would say it checked a lot of boxes. Number one, you know, Bubba's a good dude and a real popular guy in the garage, and everyone recognizes that. And so anytime he wins, I feel like it's going to be received well by his fellow competitors. But then I would say the other side of that is everyone can sympathize with a driver that hasn't won in a while and the pressure that comes with that and the difficulties of winning a cup race in NASCAR. And Bubba hadn't won in 100 races. And so everyone also is able to understand just how significant that win is for him. And you know, the weight that that puts on you and how that is lifted after you're finally able to finish the deal. And so I think everyone recognized that. And it was a huge win, not just because it's a Brickyard 400 and it's a crown jewel race and you've won at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, but then you look, you know, Bubba had spent like 25% of his career in the last 3 years, 25% of that time had been spent on the playoff bubble. There's no more sleepless nights created than when you're living on the edge of, am I going to get in the playoffs or am I not? And Bubba's been living there week in and week out. And so when you win, you're locked into the playoffs. And it just takes so much off of him now. Not just that the winless streak is over, but that you know you're in the playoffs, you've won a crown jewel race. There is just so much about this that equals, you know, success and accomplishment. And so it's awesome for Bubba. It's great for that team because 2311 had not won this year after a pretty successful year last year with Tyler Reddick and making the championship four and winning the regular season championship. So it was nice for them, and now you can spend 4 weeks getting ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, it was Bubba's third win. It was the ninth for 23-11. I was talking to Noel about this before we went on. He's like, I was a little surprised. We didn't see Jumpman anywhere on his car. The Jumpman is not on Bubba's car.
Well, not on that one.
Okay, I'm just saying. Well, you got another one?
Well, no, but I mean, well, you got different paint schemes. Your paint schemes change up each week.
You would just think that Jumpman would be very prominent on there. That's just me.
He's here more than Tyler Reddick. Talk about the end of that race, though, Adam, and I'm listening to you.
Yeah.
And it seemed like some people going to run out of gas. And if you had several restarts, you're probably going to start losing some guys that were up toward the front. So I think that made it a little dicey, a little interesting, especially for you.
Well, it did, and it's so hard when you have a race like that because it, you know, you go to overtime. And here's the crazy thing about it. We got that rain shower, and, you know, Bubba was really close to just being done, right, like finishing it off. And you know, we were probably 5-10 minutes away from that race being, you know, over. And then we get the caution for rain, and now you have to sit and wait, and now you introduce a restart and the potential of running out of gas. And so there was a lot of drama, just a lot of thoughts going through the mind of Bubba. And then I think about his crew chief, you know, because it's kind of like danged if you do, danged if you don't, right? Yeah. If you pit, you know you're giving up a ton of position, you can't win the race. But if you don't pit and you run out of gas, you know, he's in a points battle. And so if you win the race, you're in the playoffs. If you run out of gas, you might lose however many positions and not have a playoff position. So they were just living on the edge, and it was so difficult for them and so many teams because of how close it was. But that's where I give so much credit to Bubba because, you know, the thought process could be, man, you're going after a big win. Just hold that thing wide open and go get it, right? But you can't do that. You've got to massage it to be able to save fuel and then, you know, hit your marks and keep one of the best in the business behind you and Kyle Larson, who won this race last year. So there was a lot there and very nerve-wracking and the satisfaction. You know, when he won his first race, Bubba, it was at Talladega,
yeah,
and it was rain-shortened. Mm-hmm. And, you know, winning in the draft, there's a bit of a wild card element to it. And so I know he wanted to win again. He won at Kansas, and that's big. But to win like this and to beat the guys that he beat is pretty remarkable and a special day for him and everyone involved.
Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline this morning with Adam Alexander. He is social. You can always find him at Adam1Alexander. Adam1Alexander. Not a really long drive from Indianapolis, I guess, to Iowa, but a world of difference when you talk about the configuration. Talk about racing at this place and what we're going to see this weekend.
It's a tough short track, and it's one of two short tracks that remain between now and the playoffs for the Cup Series. And, you know, we go to Richmond in 2 weeks' time. We got a road course next week, and we'll wrap up the regular season at Daytona. So only four races to go in a regular season. But this is 7/8 of a mile, so just short of a mile is Iowa Speedway. But this surface is worn out. They actually did some patching and repaving last year, and it's funny how, you know, last year where they repaved it, it was real prominent, right? I mean, it was just that dark black asphalt color because it was fresh. And already a year, just a year later, you know, you've got the weathering that goes on in Iowa because the, you know, just where they are located geographically and how bad the weather is there and the freezing and thawing and all of that. You can already just see where the patches are starting to wear out. So this track is just, it's hard place to get around. It's hard to find grip because it's so worn out. So, you know, the racing here is pretty entertaining. It's a wide racetrack. Rusty Wallace designed this place. It's wide to give you options. Restarts are big here. And, you know, this will be a very, very interesting race. I believe, you know, tomorrow when the cup cars hit the track in the middle of the day, you know, grip will be a major question mark. Tires will play a role. And track position is always really, really big when you go short track racing. So this will be a real fun one for sure.
You know, Adam, we got race cars going on in the Coliseum out in California. Not so much this year. And today we got baseball in NASCAR tracks. What are your thoughts on this, man?
Did you ever?
Well, I got to tell you, Marcus Smith, who owns that track, has done a great job of being innovative and thinking outside the box. And, you know, they've just done some great things over the years. And Bristol really allows you to do that because it is a stadium feel. It's a half-mile racetrack. So, you know, if you think about going out to your local high school, that's a quarter mile, right? I mean, the track around the football field is a quarter mile. Bristol's a half mile, so double the size. But you put 100,000 seats around it, it's just a coliseum. That's what they call the place, and that's what it feels like when you're there. They played football there. Tennessee and Virginia Tech played football there a number of years ago. But now the baseball game, and this is a great collaboration. Fox has worked with Marcus Smith and his group. And this is going to be good. The Reds and the Braves playing at Bristol Motor Speedway. And if you've seen the renderings of it or seen the pictures now that place is built out on online, social media, go check it out. It's unbelievable what they have done. And this is really, really neat to have a Major League Baseball game inside Bristol Motor Speedway. And it just speaks to how special that venue really is.
Yeah, we were trying to figure out how, you know, where you could do this again. So we were thinking maybe a horse race. Like the Belmont is a mile and a half, right? If you put that inside of a track, if you did that at Daytona, have a horse race inside Daytona or Indy on the grass part, would that work? If I said,
hey, I got to tell you this story real quick. You mentioned horse track. A number of years ago, I was working locally in Evansville, Indiana, and I was starting to do some NASCAR stuff. And there's a racetrack there, a horse track there in the Evansville, you know, area, but it's actually in, you know, in Kentucky, in Henderson, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. But it's owned by Churchill Downs. And they do a live meet there, you know, every summer. And the local radio station on April Fool's Day wanted to say that NASCAR was coming there and they were going to race on the dirt at that racetrack, Ellis Park's what it's called. And they didn't want me to come on and say that they were going to do it because they didn't want to compromise me and my relationship to NASCAR. They just wanted me to come on and comment about what the race would be like and whatever to kind of build up the momentum of the gig. And I'm telling you what, they had people losing their minds about the fact that NASCAR was coming to race at Ellis Park. And it turns out to be this huge April Fool's joke. So anyway, that made me think of that when you said that. Pretty funny.
Well, we're going to watch tonight and see what happens. I know you're a big baseball fan. I'm sure you're going to be checking out, you know, what happens with this race. And maybe we see it happen at some other places. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see. We appreciate you spending some time with us as always.
As always, Adam.
Have a great call today out in Iowa. And thanks so much for the time.
Yeah, great to be with you guys. Have a good one. I look forward to the next one.
There you go. That is Adam Alexander joining us.